It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts, Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw, speakers for the Amazing Facts Ministry, as they now open the Bible and discuss themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned, because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hi, friends, and welcome again to Bible Talk, where we take the Bible subjects that affect you right where you are today and wrestle with them and get to the bottom of them and find out the truth of God's Word. I'm John Bradshaw. Glad to have with me Gary Gibbs. Hi, Gary.
John, it is good to be here. And yes, indeed, we are talking about truths that affect you today, because we are talking about Israel today.
It seems that you can't turn on the television or hear the radio news, or every media outlet is talking about Israel. There is always atrocities and troubles going on in the Middle East. Israel, for a little nation, has drawn a whole lot of publicity, and right now at this delicate stage in the history of the earth, and with now the theologians and Bible preachers focusing in on Israel, it seems like news about Israel's everywhere.
John, what we learned last time was that it doesn't matter what's happening in the Middle East, because the Israel of the Bible and of the New Testament now is not the Israel nation over there in the Middle East, but it's God's people. It's God's church.
That's what the Bible makes very, very clear. In Galatians, it says that if you belong to Jesus, that makes you a descendant of Abraham. Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said that the Jews, the true Jews today, aren't people who are Jews outwardly, but people who are Jews inwardly, people who've been circumcised in the heart, you see. So God's Israel today is a spiritual Israel. If you belong to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that makes you a Jew.
And Galatians 3:29, you were just referring to, says, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, that's a critical phrase there, because a lot of the teaching today concerning literal Israel says all of the promises to ancient literal Israel have to be fulfilled in Israel today in order for Jesus to come. What do you think about that, John?
Well, I think that's totally wrong.
That's it. That's kind of the bottom line, isn't it?
I thought I'd be really subtle about that and just tell you that that is just not the way the Bible's playing it.
Well, listen, a lot of people, though, believe that. We hear a lot of scriptures read. They're all, you know, throughout the Old Testament, Israel's going to return to the land. Temple's going to be rebuilt. What about all those scriptures? What do they apply to if they don't apply to Israel?
Well, I disagree very respectfully now, very respectfully. But God spoke to Israel and he said, if I will give you this, I will bless you that way. These promises will be fulfilled in you and to you if you be obedient. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the fat of the land. If you do this, if you obey me, God said, I will fulfill my promises in you. So you've got God saying that tremendous things are going to happen in Israel, but there's two ways to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those prophecies in the Old Testament about Israel coming back to their land, they've been fulfilled in the past.
They've already been fulfilled.
Many of them have been.
They don't refer to Israel returning in 1948?
You've got to be very careful how you look at the Bible. You remember that Israel was in captivity for a number of years, 70 years in Babylon.
Okay, and this is like, what, 600 years before Christ?
That's right. And God spoke to Israel through the prophets, and he said, I will have you return to your land. Indeed, they did go back to their land after their exile in Babylon.
Yeah, and I think it's important. A lot of these texts that we hear read to us about the return to the land are coming out of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. These were all people who lived prior and during the early part of the Babylonian captivity.
Absolutely.
And so it's telling them, you're going to return to your land. And it did happen after Daniel and after that era right there.
Sure. These were prophets raised up primarily to bring the message of God to the people of God at that time. So the primary application was to those people. If you, then you. If you obey, if you turn your hearts back to the Lord, if you'll get back on track with the God of heaven, then you will return back to your land. And that's absolutely what happened. You know, this Artaxerxes issued a decree. You read about it in Ezra chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all right, you can go back. You can go back and rebuild the place. You can restore the government, no question.
And they did rebuild the temple, didn't they?
Absolutely, they did. The book of Nehemiah is all about the rebuilding of the wall and the resetting up of the society. And that promise was fulfilled in those people back then, and they went back to their land.
So then when they got back to the land, one of the things, as I understand it, happened is they didn't stay loyal to God, did they? And then they left God again and didn't fulfill his purposes. And you come down to the time of Jesus, and Jesus actually tells the Jewish nation, in effect, in Matthew 22. In fact, why don't we turn to it there in Matthew 22? I believe it's verse 42. He says, "The kingdom of God will be taken from you."
That's right.
"And given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof."
Right. You are talking about Matthew chapter 21.
21. Thank you.
I'll read verse 42.
Okay.
"Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God.'" Now, you can't miss this. Friend, as you're listening to this, I mean, just pause a moment here. This is so clear and so profoundly important. And when you read this verse, all this talk about Israel being the place where the prophecies will be fulfilled, that all just comes crashing down like a house of cards. And before I go any further, I want to say that this has implications for the Christian today in a very real way. "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you." God was speaking to the Jewish people right then. "And it will be given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." God was keen to see the fruits developed in the people that called themselves God's people. He didn't see them in Israel. God said, "Fine, I'll take the kingdom from you, give it to another nation." Who's that nation?
Well, Peter tells us, in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he tells us who that nation is in verse 9. He says, "Ye are a holy nation. You are the royal priesthood.
You are this, you are that." And he was quoting what Moses said to Israel back in Exodus chapter 19. Was Peter writing to the nation, the literal nation of Israel?
Well, here's what he says in verse 10. He says, "Which in time past were not a people."
Were not a people.
"You were not God's people, but you are now the people of God." And chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers," the Gentiles.
That's correct.
"Scattered abroad." So he was writing to the Gentile Christians who were converted, and he tells them that now they are the royal priesthood. They are the holy nation, because they are the ones bringing forth the fruit, showing forth the praises of him who's called them out of darkness into his marvelous light.
I'll give you another verse along that same vein. The book of James begins. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." Now, James wasn't merely writing to literal Jews. He was writing to believers in Jesus, no matter what their ethnic background. Clearly, James, in his mind, understood that the 12 tribes really represented anybody who belonged to Jesus. He was familiar with Paul's idea. He bought that. He understood that. And that was that if you belong to Jesus, it makes you a descendant of Abraham. Same is true today. Why is it important? Because, my friend, God wants to include you as part of his Israel. Those promises are going to be fulfilled in you. This kind of ups the stakes a little bit. You can afford to say, "Wow, God's got that kind of destiny for me." Yes, he has. He's got such blessing that you just can hardly even understand it.
Now, how does he fulfill those promises in us? Are we going to be moving to a kibbutz now in Israel? Is that what we're looking forward to?
I almost lived in a kibbutz at one time. I was traveling all around the world, and I said, "Hey, this sounds like a bit of fun." And a friend and I, we said, "Man, we might go and live in a kibbutz." Never did, which would be too bad. I kind of enjoy the food. But no, anyway, back to this whole idea. I don't believe that God has any desire for everybody to go and live in the Middle East. The Bible doesn't make any indication that that is going to take place. God's promises are going to be fulfilled in the lives and in the hearts. God will make us heirs according to the promise. We will inherit the land in a very real way. God is going to restore the promised land, the kingdom of heaven, to his people. Ultimately, if you read what it says in Revelation, we'll come back to this earth. The earth will be renewed, remade, restored, and God's people will populate a recreated, beautified earth.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew 5, "The meek shall inherit the earth."
That's exactly what he said.
So those are some of the promises that are going to be fulfilled. We'll inherit the land, but now instead of just the literal land there in Israel, we're really talking about the world.
Oh, sure we are. I mean, that's not the most desirable piece of real estate, I might say, with all due respect. So God doesn't want anyone to be, let me say that a little more broadly. It's not God's plan A for that, everybody pack up and move to Israel and live on the West Bank. No, God can fulfill the promise in your life, in your heart. And might I suggest this, Gary? Everybody's looking at Israel to be converted and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Is Israel a religious nation? Yes or no?
I've been there, John. They're actually a very secular nation. Of course, you have the Orthodox Jews. But as a whole, the nation in many respects is even atheistic.
Absolutely it is. It's a kind of a westernized, secular nation, about as unreligious as any nation on the earth. And you mentioned the religious folks are Orthodox Jews, and these are people who deny the Messiah has come, and they're looking for another Messiah, certainly not expecting it to be Jesus Christ.
In fact, the picture that the most of us Christians have looked at for Israel isn't a pleasant future for Israel, because what we're saying is going to happen is that all the Christians are going to be raptured out of the world, the Antichrist is going to move into Jerusalem, going to deceive the Jews and lead them right down to hell.
Isn't that interesting? You've got some preachers in the United States who make a big to-do about being the friends of the Jews. And, oh, we want to have these receptions for the Jews and our friends, the Jews. And they're saying, on the one hand, you're our friend, and on the other hand, buddy, you're going to hell.
That's right. You're going to be deceived by the Antichrist.
How can you have it both ways, man?
So that is the common view. But what we're saying, looking at the scripture, is the real focus in the Bible is not on a piece of real estate,
right?
But it's on the Christian church.
Yes.
So then that has implications. Then the devil's infiltration is not going to be of Israel,
right,
but of the Christian church.
Sure. Do you think we've seen that anywhere in history?
Well, I think it's very clear. It has happened in history all through time. You know,
right.
You have the corruption of the church during the Dark Ages with the medieval church. And we have the corruption of the church today.
Sure.
I mean, there are things being taught in the church today that have no place in the Bible whatsoever. We've got perverted sexual lifestyles. We have all sorts of stuff being taught from the pulpits of churches today.
Right. Some of the things being taught in church today make your hair fall out. Well, it's clear that I've heard some of those things.
Well, I'll tell you, we do need to have our eyes not on literal Israel, but our eyes need to be on the Christian church, because that is where the action is. It's an old strategy of war to make your enemy think you're going to attack him from one direction, and then you attack him from another direction, because he puts all his energy to protect that front where he thinks you're coming, and then you come at him from another direction. All eyes are on Israel. Literal Israel, John, but the devil is coming in the back door of the church.
Now, let's make something clear. Does what we have said mean that there's no hope for the Jew, the literal Israelite? Absolutely not. Anyone living in Israel, anybody is an ethnic Jew, can be saved in exactly the same way as anybody else, by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. We can, thank the Lord, all be considered,
yes,
when we receive Jesus to be the child of the living God,
yes,
with an eternal future. Another great program, Gary. Thank you. And thank you. We'll look for you here next time for more on Bible Talk.
If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for BT103. Is there anything left you can trust? The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678. Or email us at BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.